It's Thursday again, ladies and gentlemen, and it's the Thursday afternoon show on WGXC Acre, 90.7 on your radio dial. I'm Debbie Mayer.
I'm Ellen Thurston.
And we made it to Thursday again.
We did, oh, once more.
Yes.
And our first guest has just arrived.
Yes, is settling down in the studio, so that's great. She's a pro.
The guest is wearing polka dots today. I'm told that polka dots are very lucky.
Is that true?
I don't know, but I'd like to think they are.
So would I.
That's the voice of Susan Simon.
Hello. It's been a while.
It has. It has been a while. She's a regular.
I think the food of the summer was self-explanatory. That's why you didn't need to hear from
That's
me.
That's right. We can talk about the food of the fall.
Mm. Sure. Which is kind of still summer food. The sort of what my late sister called in her book about Thomas Jefferson, the jewels of the summer are still in full harvest. The jewels of the summer being tomatoes, eggplant, and peppers. Mm-hmm.
I always think of corn as a summer.
Corn is a summer, and it's still being harvested.
And watermelon
is around. I mean, there are a lot of things that are around. This is what my sister called the jewels of the summer.
The jewels
of the summer.
Oh, I'm sorry. Tomatoes.
Tomatoes, eggplant, and peppers.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Okay.
But I know that, Ellen, when I bumped into you last week, you wanted to talk about the tomato sandwich.
Yes.
Yes, well,
she does. I do, too. Susan is going to talk with Ellen about the tomato sandwich.
Look at it. I mean, I just came in as it started to pour. It's a very active
storm
going on. Oh, my
gosh, isn't it?
Oh, I got here just in time.
And so did Susan.
Yes.
Wow.
The tomato sandwich, I guess it's subjective. I think the tomato sandwich that you're referring to is with mayonnaise.
That's correct. Yeah.
Is it white bread and mayonnaise?
It's white bread. But it has to be the right white bread and the right mayonnaise.
And what is that for you?
For me, it's white bread like, for example, what's the brand
Pepperidge
name?
Pepperidge Farm
sandwich bread, which is a little dense.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the right size for a slice of big tomato to fit on it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not too big, so you could have two sandwiches. And, you know, I don't have a huge appetite, but I can eat two tomato sandwiches.
Oh, they're so easy to eat, aren't they?
Oh, I'll say. And Hellmann's mayonnaise, of course.
Hellmann's mayonnaise. We've had this discussion with your erstwhile colleague, who insisted that there's a mayonnaise that's sold at one of the specialty shops here in Hudson that he likes very much.
Uh-huh.
And I think I mentioned that when I recently read a one of those comparisons, like the old Cook's Magazine used to do, and then when they rated brands of food.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very surprised, to say the least, to learn that Miracle Whip was rated second place among mayonnaise that is desirable.
Miracle Whip. And what was first?
I think it wasn't Hellmann's.
Hmm.
It was
really?
Something. Is there something in the South that could be called Duke's or something like that?
It's possible.
I don't know.
Well, it's probably people in the Midwest that are making these decisions. Because if you talk to somebody from Cleveland, Ohio,
mm-hmm.
I think they would be a Miracle Whip advocate.
You know, I think Hellmann's is called Hellmann's on the East Coast, but it's called Best Foods on the West Coast, maybe? It's still the same mayonnaise.
There's a blue ribbon involved somehow.
Yeah,
real and the word real is on the label, I think.
You're right. I love a fresh tomato sandwich anyway, but I'm particularly I love olive oil. See, I think olive oil and tomato is such a fantastic marriage.
You put olive oil on bread.
And a big fat slice of tomato and some flaky sea salt. And to me,
you have to have salt and pepper. The best way to eat a tomato
mm-hmm.
out of your garden is to put the the salt shaker in your pocket. And you walk out the door.
Uh-huh.
You pick the tomato. You wipe the dirt off with your hand.
Mm-hmm.
And you sprinkle a little salt on it, and you eat it, standing there in the garden.
So all those juices that dribble down your chin can go right back into
matter.
The earth.
It doesn't matter.
Right. It doesn't matter. Go right back. And, you know, I usually say, when I write about tomatoes or peaches, and say the best way to eat them, of course, is just out of hand. But mm-hmm. I say stand over the sink.
Yeah. Peaches, I always eat standing over the sink. That's true.
However, you know, there are wonderful tomatoes being harvested right now. There's still the markets are just filled with tomatoes, and there are so many things, so many variations on a tomato sandwich. I was starting to think about, well, a grilled cheese tomato sandwich, for example.
Oh yes,
how
very
about
good.
That?
Very good. In that case, the tomato is sliced very thinly, I think.
Well,
medium okay. sliced.
Yeah, I mean, it depends. I mean, you know, again, as I said, this is all subjective.
Yeah.
I mean, you can slice it thickly and you're just going to get a lot of juice, but it's...
It's delicious.
It's delicious. I don't know. And there's so many different kinds of cheese to choose. Also, at this time of the year, when there are fresh tomatoes, I would make a pizza with freshly sliced tomatoes.
Oh.
Yeah.
We used to make... I haven't done this in years. You make pasta.
Yes.
But it's like a pasta sauce, but you don't cook it.
Yes.
Right.
Chopped red tomato. First you have to skin them.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Not necessarily. Well, it depends.
Well.
Depends on your taste.
My mother never served a tomato with a skin on it, so that's my habit.
Okay.
But, in some cases, the skins on cherry tomatoes, for example, I find are sometimes tough. Maybe not to everybody, but
mm-hmm.
I'm just conscious of the skin.
Mm-hmm.
But so I would peel the tomato if I were.
And did you plunge it in hot water to peel it?
Yeah, usually.
Uh-huh. Well, there's a very famous, well, famous in my circle, but mm-hmm. I think it's famous. It happens to be the dish that my friend makes for me when I arrive in Italy, the times that I visit Italy, mm-hmm. which was it's not as frequently as I'd like. And it's chopped fresh tomatoes. She mm-hmm. doesn't skin them. Lots of basil, olive oil.
I think.
Cubes of mozzarella. And then you put the cooked pasta in that.
Mm-hmm.
And you can
yeah.
roll.
Mm-hmm. And it the hot pasta sort of
cooks it.
Doesn't cook it exactly, but it you
softens
know.
It. Mm-hmm. But, yeah. but a really ripe tomato, which is what you're getting in the markets now, are mm-hmm. so already, they're like almost like tomato. They're almost like a tomato aspic or a tomato sherbet. They're all already mm. so soft.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
As far as the cherry tomatoes, I like to saute them a little bit. I like to saute them and crack an egg on them for breakfast.
Oh.
Yes.
Now we're talking.
Now we're talking. That's another thing I was thinking about as I was driving up here. This is the breakfast I've been having for the past couple of weeks because I've been getting the little pints of that wonderful assortment of small tomatoes that a lot of the vendors have mm-hmm. and just cutting them in half. Lots of olive oil. As you can tell, I'm an olive oil aficionado mm-hmm. and a lover of olive oil. And I let them blister in the olive oil. Then I crack an egg on top, sprinkle some feta cheese, rip up some basil leaves on top and then put a lid on top so everything just goes splat.
Wow.
And then
I like your sound effects.
Yes. Like sound effects. Old time radio.
Right. It sounds divine.
So tomatoes, let's see how else I've been doing. Tomato sandwich, yes. That's the first thing I do. Or a BLT, which I'm not eating as many BLTs as I used to.
Right.
Because I'm eliminating more and more meat from my diet. But, A-T-L, avocado, tomato, and lettuce on toast.
Sounds
good.
Uh-huh.
You know, I took cherry tomatoes one day, which is all the only kind of tomato I had in my refrigerator. Mm-hmm. You don't put tomatoes in the refrigerator, do you?
You shouldn't, but
sometimes if they're like really ripe and heading toward too ripe.
Yes.
I feel you have to put them in the tomato.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, in the refrigerator.
Yes.
But I had some hummus
uh-huh.
that I put on whole grain bread, and I just stuck these. I cut the tomatoes in half and just stuck them on the top of the sandwich. And the combination of that very sweet cherry tomato and the hummus was absolutely wonderful.
No, I was going to talk about a recipe that I've made a couple of times this summer with eggplant, and I've used cherry tomatoes as the dippers,
mm-hmm.
and it's a charred eggplant, or yes, it's called burnt eggplant with tahini. It's basically like a baba ganoush, but it has a few extra ingredients in it that baba ganoush doesn't have. For example, pomegranate molasses.
What's a baba ganoush?
Baba ganoush is that eggplant dip.
Mm. Oh, right, right.
Mm-hmm. So Okay. It's what you do is char the eggplant, and if you're fortunate enough to have gas burners on your range, that's the way to char the eggplant. You just take the whole eggplant and put it either on one gas flame, or if it's a big eggplant, you can spread it across two and just keep turning it. And you keep doing this for about 15 minutes till the eggplant kind of collapses and it gets really charred and really burned. And then you let it sit in a colander so it drains some of its liquid out. Then you can peel this very charred skin off. And I dump it into a food processor, add tahini paste, pomegranate molasses, garlic, lemon juice, and just spin it, and then serve it with lots of chopped parsley on top. These are all things that are in season right now, except the pomegranate molasses, which is, you know, I think it's entering the pantries of a lot of cooks now because it's so used, and it's such a good ingredient because it emphasizes a lot of flavor with this kind of tart sweet.
Mm-hmm.
So then use a cherry tomato as a dipper. It's delicious. It's just delicious.
We're eating good right now, aren't we?
Yeah, we sure are.
Yes, we are.
I took cherry tomatoes one night when I cook vegetables and meat and chicken and things like that in the oven. I'm an oven cooker now.
Which is...
seems the easiest way to do...
And the cleanest way to do it.
And the cleaning way.
Yes.
Yeah, cleanest way. And I had cherry tomatoes that were kind of... heading toward overripe.
Mm-hmm.
I cut them in half and I threw them in the pan with, I think there was onion in there too, and anyway, the chicken, and it all, of course, melds together somehow.
Mm-hmm.
The cherry tomatoes totally collapsed and made this wonderful sauce. It was wonderful.
Mm. Oh, delicious.
Ah,
delicious. And I'm trying to think that we started with tomatoes, which is still available. There are other... Before we rush into apples and pears,
let's not rush into apples.
Because they're going to be...
pears.
We're going to get bored to death
forever,
by them.
Yes.
There are still so many good stone fruits available. There's still nectarines. Mm-hmm. There are still amazing peaches.
Right.
There's still... I've seen some berries around. I've actually seen some blueberries. There are blackberries around.
Mm-hmm.
You can make these wonderful upside-down cakes with nectarines, you can make compotes, plums, plenty of plums around. Mm-hmm. I have so many jars of stewed, preserved, and conserved fruit sitting in my refrigerator that I just pull out. Sometimes you can put it on toast, sometimes you can put it on ice cream, sometimes you put it on a piece of buttered toast. But it's all delicious. I cook blueberries with honey and lemon. I've just cooked a bunch of plums with cassis and rapadura sugar, which I've talked about, rapadura sugar. I mean, it's delicious. Just those purple Italian plums cut in half, skin on.
Wasn't there a famous recipe that they kept publishing every year in the New York Times? It was a plum tart.
Cake. Yeah, plum tart, yeah.
Plum tart.
Yep.
That was lovely.
Peaches, sliced peaches.
So peaches are still good, you're saying?
Peaches are. I mean, they're starting. I've noticed the last batch I bought is starting. They're starting to like kind of separate and get a little mealy.
Yeah, that's what I would say.
And that's what's happening with all the fresh stuff, though. I mean, it's still there. You just have to use it very quickly.
When you say separate, it starts to separate from the stone.
No, they start. They almost have like this. Their flesh kind of separates a little bit. It's not as solid as it used to be. It's drying out. They're drying out.
Yeah, it's mealy,
tasty.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So that's when you cook them a little bit. Mm-hmm. You stew them. You make a compote. The other night I made This is my lazy, like great effects with little effort, my lazy dessert. I made a compote with all these fruits that I'm talking about, you know, just layered ice cream, whipped cream, crumbled amaretti cookie with sliced peaches, with cooked blueberries, with...
She always makes me so hungry.
Yes, me too. We're talking to Susan Simon. She's making us hungry on the Thursday afternoon show on WGXC Acre 90.7. I'm Debbie Mayer, getting weak with hunger, and we have Ellen.
Ellen's
really engaged
I'm still
in
Ellen
this,
Thurston.
I can tell. Yes.
Will you indulge me so I can talk about a little event that the Literacy Fund is putting on this weekend?
Sure.
Because it has to do with food. It has to do with food. It's something that hasn't been public because it's a small kind of a pop-up cocktail party that we're doing as a fundraiser. One of our board members has
for the high school.
It's for the Literacy Fund, the Children's Health and Children's Book Festival Literacy Fund.
Which we do
a very large party every year at that Stair Gallery, and it's what funds all the free books for kids at the book festival.
Right.
And we had a banner year this year, so we're having a little pop-up cocktail party this weekend to kind of enrich our treasury a little more, but. One of our board members, Nancy Barber, and her husband, Bill Stone, have offered their home, which is absolutely gorgeous, right on the river, just before you go down that big dip on 9G. And as I said, it hasn't been published and hasn't been public because we're keeping it quite small. But there are we've come to 2 days before the party, which is on September 9th, and then we still have a few places left. If anybody can be tempted to come to this beautiful party where there will be guitar music, magnificent views facing west of the river and the mountains.
Get to the food, Susan.
All right, I'm going to get to the food. So Nancy Barber has brought in from the New York City a friend of hers who is a chef who is making this amazing food with seasonal stuff. For example... He's doing a charred beet ravioli with pine nut, beet stems, ricotta, and poppy seed butter. So each guest will get a big ravioli with all this stuff.
My gosh.
Making fried, I'm getting hungry, squash blossoms stuffed with stracciatella, which you know what stracciatella is.
No.
Stracciatella is... mozzarella that's broken into stracce, which are rags, and then mixed with heavy cream. It's what you find inside burrata. You know, these burrata, which look like mozzarella, but you cut them open and they kind of are filled with this creaminess. So he's going to stuff the squash blossoms with stracciatella, deep fry, and then serve it with a Croatian sauce that's called Ajvar, which sounds a little bit like a combination of Romanesco sauce and caponata. It's made with...
Caponata is eggplant.
Yeah,
right?
But this is made with this Ajvar, A-J-V-A-R, which is a Croatian thing, made with peppers, breadcrumbs, and then eggplant. So this fried squash blossom will be served with that. He is making...
Are you going to have stretchers available to carry people out?
Then there are a bunch of other things. I'll tell you that he's going to make also a buttermilk panna cotta brulee with fresh fruit on top for dessert. So this is a cocktail party, but it's almost going to be like dinner.
Really?
And as I said, guitar music. So since it's 2 days before... May I send you to my website or my email address? May I send people interested to my email address because it's a little late to get to the Literacy Fund and then us to find you? Is that all right if I give my...
I don't see any rule here against it.
Are you reading the rules? I think it's a good idea. I think it's better than giving another website.
Yeah, it's a little... As I said, we've kept it to a limited group of people. So it hasn't been widely published, but we would like to invite anybody who is interested now to come. It's what somebody has called a high price event.
Yeah, and we of course do not mention prices. Right.
Yes, we don't mention prices. That's why I'm saying Susan Simon says which is SAYS.com. Susan@SusanSimonSays.com. I will fill you in on all the details and how to get there. It's just a plus, plus, plus. It's being in an absolutely beautiful, magical spot on the river. Mm-hmm. It's obviously incredible food. Drinks. Oh, the drink.
She forgot the drinks.
Well, there'll be the usual wine and water selection.
Good.
However, there were also, since we want to do a literary cocktail.
Yes.
Uh-oh. So we're doing Ernest Hemingway's favorite daiquiri that was created for him by Café Floridita in Havana.
Mm.
Which has stuff like, well, it has rum and it has maraschino liqueur. It has fresh grapefruit juice, fresh lime juice.
I'm on the floor already.
Oh, yes. So am I.
You know, and to mingle with people, you know, like-minded people who understand the importance of getting books into the hands of every single kid.
Yes, it's a worthy cause, folks.
So here's another opportunity. I thank you for letting me talk about it because it is totally food-oriented, this event. What else have I been making? Yeah. Do we have time to talk about anything else?
Were we? I'm still back on the cherry tomatoes for breakfast.
Cherry tomatoes for breakfast. So as you know, even though I don't write a column in this town and these counties anymore, I continue to write a weekly column for the Nantucket paper, and it's, you know, coming up with a different subject every week. And this week I'm writing something that about how to be an interesting vegetarian, which I'm not.
Interesting vegetarian?
Yeah, instead of a boring vegetarian?
I didn't word that well. To eat interesting food and not miss meat and become a vegetarian.
I see.
I don't think I could ever be a vegan because I'm not about to give up eggs and dairy.
Yes, that's always the thing. I couldn't give up eggs. I've already given up dairy, but eggs.
No.
Cheese.
No.
She can't give up cheese and yogurt.
No, but yeah. Could you give up meat?
Yeah, I eat less and less meat.
Me too.
Because I don't like cooking meat, for one thing.
Uh-huh.
But are you thinking of red meat or meat, all meat?
Because
I certainly eat chicken and fish.
Yes. I'm just thinking, you know, my discussion, and it's kind of writing down but thinking out loud. It's not, you know, I said I've been flirting with being a vegetarian for years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not so much as, you know, eating a plant-based diet that's so healthy for you that everybody is talking about now. It's more my concern for the death of sentient beings, which kind of propels me in that direction. I don't think it's ever going to happen completely.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've narrowed it down to be absolutely as insistent on knowing the origin of the food that I eat and where it was raised, how it was raised, which becomes expensive, but you don't eat as much.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Thomas Jefferson said that he only eats meat as a condiment to his vegetables.
And yes,
I think that, really? Well, that's, I'm not, I'm, that's a paraphrase, but that's
what they said.
I mean, that's why he had this magnificent vegetable garden in Monticello and a great variety of things, seeds that he brought back from when he was ambassador to France. Right, you know, he started growing rice in the United States before anybody.
I would think, Susan, that switching to a vegetarian diet would be inspiring to you because as you talk about all these things that you make, you're not going to a cookbook to find out how to do this. You're making it up as you go along because you understand food in a way that allows you to do that and come up with something spectacular. I just want to move in with you. I mean,
yeah, really.
This sounds so good.
Well, I'm very inspired by what I see in the market.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and you're right. It's years of experience. And I look at cookbooks all the time. You know, right now I'm, in this column that I'm writing about, you know, flirting with vegetarianism. I'm talking about, you know, a very good way to like ease yourself into it is have a very good breakfast, which are words that you've heard before. But when I mean a very good breakfast, I mean something more like what they might serve in Israel, which has to do with salads, a big variety of salads, you know, chopped salads, eggs, eating a lot of stuff at breakfast, but all very healthy things, freshly squeezed juices, have bread. Maybe even have a sweet pastry. And that'll take you right through the day until you can just have yourself a light dinner. It works. Don't look at me as an example. But but that's
well, we're not talking about weight, if I may use that word.
Yeah, talking health.
We're talking about health, and you know, if weight goes one way or the other, then it's a plus. It's not the goal.
I always like to say that my overweight is healthy overweight. It's olive oil. It's
right.
It's, it's good. Mm-hmm. It's all very good food. Mm-hmm. It's not, you know, I think I can I safely say that we're of a generation we really weren't brought up on processed foods.
Right.
So we had a good head start.
I was.
You were?
Oh, certainly, yes.
Oh, dear, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Well, I remember when cake mixes became available.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother, you know, she was very hesitant about using this cake mix.
Uh-huh.
And so whenever she made a cake and made it from scratch, she made sure that we understood that this was made from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
I read a book about the writing of The Joy of Cooking, mm-hmm. Irma Rombaugh's book. And there was it's kind of like a history of cookery in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And at a certain point, manufacturers came to her because it was a very popular book and apparently kept the publishing company going for years. I don't remember the name of the company, but for example, Campbell's Soup came, and I have to look in an old edition of that book to see if the famous tuna casserole is there, because everybody's mother that I knew had a tuna casserole recipe.
Absolutely.
You know, or green beans and onion rings out of a can and all this kind of stuff. Mushroom soup is very big.
People are still using mushroom soup. I just recently saw reprinted that cake that's made with tomato soup, Campbell's tomato soup.
Oh, that's what my mother used to make. Tomato soup cake. It was like a fruit cake.
Was it
almost
good?
It was good. It was sort of reddish. But and it was such an oddity, you know, that I know there was one uncle that loved my mother's tomato soup cake. So she would make him one every Thanksgiving. We'd go to Thanksgiving mm-hmm. at my grandparents' house, and she would take this cake along.
Oh, dear. You know what goes into Campbell's soup to keep it on the shelf for a long time.
Ugh.
Anyway, I know that people are still using it. My brother-in-law came back from visiting his sister and said, "You won't believe what she made for breakfast. She piled this, this, and this," and then she finished the whole thing off by dumping a can of cream of mushroom soup on everything. Uh-huh. And then,
oh, it was a breakfast dish.
Something or other. Ooh. Yeah. No. Let's go back to the cherry tomatoes, the eggs.
Yes. I'd like to actually say a word for my mother, who, by the way, would have been 103 today. This is the anniversary of her birth.
Yeah.
Oh.
And we actually, for dinner, we did just have food, you know, meat, a vegetable, potatoes. It wasn't processed. But we did, for lunch, we probably had a lot of Campbell's soups, we kids, anyway.
I remember when we were sick, Lipton's chicken noodle soup.
Yeah.
That was the one thing I remember that was
a
processed.
A treat, yes.
Do you remember Lipton's soups?
I don't.
They were dry.
Was it a dried?
A dry soup that you put in hot
oh,
water.
Oh, yeah.
Yes,
I think I remember
those.
What about ramen noodles?
That's what I was going to say. The Lipton soup was probably the forerunner of ramen noodles.
Ramen noodles.
I don't think I'd missed out on that, you know? I don't think I've eaten a lot of processed food in my life.
No, it's too salty. I would have loved to eat ramen noodles, but the salt content is so high.
Is it?
Yes, it's very high. When I read the package in the market, I think, I can't eat this.
So are these ramen noodle companies owned by soda companies?
Yeah, because then you drink a lot of soda.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I have here, I'm switching gears for a minute.
Sure.
I have here my little 8-ounce bottle of Poland Spring, and you know, I always carry water with me, and this is just the right size. It's not very heavy.
Mm-hmm.
And my doctor and everybody else says, you have to drink more water,
mm-hmm.
which is hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I just read some guidelines that said women should drink 11 8-ounce glasses of water
a
day.
That's ridiculous.
Well, it seems that way to me.
You have to sit by the bathroom.
Right. Well,
toy.
That's part of the water's purpose. But
to flush you out.
Water is your friend. Anyway, So
hard to do when you're going for a walk, parenthetically, a walk in Hudson.
Yes. Hard to do. So I started yesterday. I would drink this bottle of water, mm-hmm. and I carry it from, you know, to my desk, to the kitchen. I carry it back and forth all the time, as I seem to anyway. Mm-hmm. Just naturally, it's not like a rule with mm-hmm. me or anything. Mm-hmm. But, when the water is gone, I would fill it up out of the tap. It's tap water.
Uh-huh.
And I find that I do drink more water because I'm sitting at my desk. Maybe I'm trying to avoid answering somebody's email. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It could be an avoidance thing.
Time for a sip of water.
Time for, you know, there it is. It's so handy. Yeah.
So how many of those did you drink yesterday?
Not much.
No,
it was just
really
the beginning.
Hard.
It was like three.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I'd ever get to 11. I'd have to stay home.
Yeah, a container that's 32 ounces. So I make sure that's full every morning. And that is a daunting amount of water for me to drink.
Is that
four times eight?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And still, so you can imagine tripling that?
I know. That's what I figured. I should drink half, you know, before lunch and then fill it up again, but I don't.
Well, if you're exercising and bicycling and carrying, you know,
right.
have a very active day.
If you're really sweating, you have to fill it up.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I think I'll have a sip of water.
Excuse me. Because I want to tell you about my container. When I went to the Glimmerglass Opera this past August, we went, they were selling fruited water, and I thought, oh, that looks good. So I got one, and what it was $5, and you got the container, which is a high-quality plastic container, which, of course says Glimmerglass Opera, and it has a straw in it and a cap. And the straw has a little thing at the bottom so that it won't fall out of the contraption.
Mm-hmm.
And so now I carry that around at home, Ellen, and I find I drink more water, I guess because it's fun.
How many?
I drink it.
If you can make it fun, all the better.
Right.
What did you see at Glimmerglass?
We saw, I'm thinking of our, oh, Xerxes.
Xerxes.
Yeah, Xerxes.
I went also. It's my August ritual.
Uh-huh.
What did you see? Siege of Calais.
Uh-huh.
No, and they played Handel's water music.
No. They played Handel's, well, you know. Siege of Calais was,
Oh, really?
I didn't go this year.
You didn't? No, it was, I don't know.
Xerxes was very beautiful.
That's what I heard.
I didn't know why the king was always walking around in a purple bathrobe, but I'm too literal. The two friends I was with just thought it was gorgeous, and the music was beautiful.
Yes, the friends that I went to see Siege of Calais with had gone, we went to Saturday matinee, they had gone mm-hmm. the Friday night before to see Xerxes. Mm. But the ticket this summer was Porgy and Bess, I think, from what
I've heard. I had seen that in Charleston, South Carolina.
The same production,
yes. Mm.
And?
It was okay. I didn't want to see it again. I don't know how they did it up here. In Charleston, they were very proud of the fact that all the recitatives were in, what was it, Guyanese?
Yes.
So most of the audience, myself included, could not understand it. And of course, the big the songs were in English, but you can listen to a record. It was beautiful to look at and a very good production, but I didn't want to see it again.
I just love going to Glimmerglass. I like being there.
Yeah, me too.
Sometimes we just like the whole thing. The picnics that people bring.
Oh, yes.
That's a whole subject.
Yes.
We were looking at the table. And, you know, we bring all this food and mm-hmm. you know, the same group of friends every year. And the table next to us was really fancy. It was like we were competing.
Yeah.
It's like they used to have concerts in Central Park in New York.
Oh, I remember those.
And people would bring candelabra and, you know.
Oh, no, you had to go there at noon to secure your spot.
Yes, that too.
Do you remember that? Right. Seeing Pavarotti there. Mm, yeah. I remember those days. I don't think I could sit on the ground anymore, though.
No.
I could sit, but I couldn't get up.
Right. In a different angle, I really enjoy the talk that they give before the opera.
Yeah.
I find it very interesting.
Yeah. The talks are good.
Uh-huh.
You were eating your wonderful food. I had quaffed down a sandwich and then went to the talk.
No. We made this wonderful. there's one of the group always brings. He makes sandwiches. He makes, you know, roasted eggplant. Big sandwiches full of roasted vegetables and cheese. But we and my friend and I made a huge, what she called watermelon salad. But in fact, it had everything out of her garden. It had cucumbers and corn and I don't know. We crumbled feta cheese, tomatoes. It was delicious.
Is
lots
her
of fresh
garden up there by Glimmerglass?
Yeah, it's mm-hmm. there about. That's what I do. I don't go from here to Glimmerglass. I stop. They live in Schoharie County in Jefferson. Mm-hmm. So it's all.
It's nice.
Yeah, so it's less than it. Once you get there, you're more than halfway to Glimmerglass.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And her garden does, you know, it's a different zone than here.
Yes,
she can't grow.
Is.
She can't grow the things that we grow here.
Mm-hmm.
But she does well.
Is mm-hmm. it higher?
It's high. It's the Northern Catskills. Yeah, I don't know what the zone numbers are, but it's the next zone, mm-hmm. colder.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't. She can't grow hydrangeas.
Mm.
There's certain things she can't grow. Anyway, there we are.
Well,
we've circled. We've circled around.
Right,
tomatoes.
We've gone around the world.
Tomatoes. I brought the tomatoes from Hudson because her tomatoes hadn't gotten ripe in the middle of August.
Sure.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I know what I wanted to ask you about tomatoes. Heirloom tomatoes.
Mm-hmm.
I used to think that heirloom tomatoes were the thing. I mean, these are really wonderful. Mm-hmm. But I've sort of changed my mind about it. I don't think I have to have an heirloom tomato. I think a good old red tomato is just as good as an heirloom.
I don't know. I've had both this summer.
Mm-hmm.
And the heirlooms seem to be tastier. You know, there's one thing that I discovered about tomatoes. You know, every time I do a tomato recipe when involving raw tomatoes, I say, do not put vinegar on tomatoes. Do not.
Hmm.
Really?
But tomatoes have so much acid in them, they do not. I also discovered in an article about deep flavor that tomatoes have the same umami properties as aged Parmesan and a couple of other things I can't remember, which attracts us to these things, attracts us to these foods. I mean, we're so attracted to tomato because of that flavor that is unique to a tomato. And it really shouldn't have any other acid added to it.
That's good to know.
And to insalata caprese, olive oil. Basta. you know, the mozzarella and the basil and salt, yes, but I know vinegar, I don't
but
understand.
But no vinegar on
no
tomatoes.
Vinegar. I mean, taste a tomato. I mean, when tomatoes are ripe and they're in season, there are people that eat so many tomatoes they get sores in their mouths.
Yes, they do. Mm-hmm.
It's the acid.
Yeah. Yeah, they can be very acidic, that's for sure.
So why add more? I mean.
Right.
Anyway.
Well, I'm sure when we did the pantry series with you, we must have looked at olive oil.
Yes, we did.
And had a big discussion about it. But I heard that California olive oil is very good these days.
That's what I'm using.
So I buy from the supermarket one that says California very largely on it.
That's the one I use.
The square one?
Yes.
It's good, isn't it?
It's very good, and it's from California. I mean, there's a lot of controversy about the olive oil that comes from Mediterranean countries. Where does it really come from? Is it coming from Tunisia and Morocco? It's a mix of stuff. It may contain very little olive oil, and just an oil, and it's flavored with olive oil. There's a lot of scandal involved with olive oil coming from the Mediterranean these days. Hmm. California olive oil comes from California, full stop. I mean, you can get really good Italian olive oil, but do you want to pay $40 a bottle for it?
Not for just normal cooking.
Just drizzling. Anyway, yes, I agree. I use California olive oil, too.
Well, I feel very reassured by that. I do, because I don't know all this stuff that you know.
Oh.
And, of course, I want to use the best.
Of course you do. Of course you do. What else is going on? Is it still busy? It's been the busiest summer in this.
Oh my goodness! Yes.
In this valley.
Yes, exhausting.
And it's still happening. You know, our thing on Saturday night, the 9th, at Nancy Barber and Bill Stone's house.
Right.
You know, I can't get my list out on time because there's too much to talk about. list of events.
And more people are probably asking you to include theirs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I try not to do the chicken dinners, you know, the church dinners. Mm-hmm. But sometimes, I don't know, they just sound pretty good.
Yeah, so. They do. Sometimes.
And I like to, I mean, the list has a lot of variety. So.
Yes, it does. It's a very good list.
I think it's fun to see all these things juxtaposed against each other.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And so that's what it is. That's my apologia or whatever for having the list be late. Oh, that sounded good. Too bad I didn't get to know about it soon enough.
Yay. Yeah.
Well, they're, you know, people are advertising their own events. You know, there's other medium. Not everybody sees. You know, they use Facebook, they use Instagram mm-hmm. yeah, to advertise their events.
They've run out of places to advertise as far as hard copy, so to speak, mm-hmm. is concerned. Mm-hmm. Newspapers are going downhill.
Well, people don't read.
Not the Columbia paper, but.
No.
and the Register Star is still bravely carrying on.
It is, yes.
It's the only daily newspaper, I think, left in New York State or something like that.
Seriously?
In upstate?
Except it's not daily anymore.
No, and it hasn't been daily for a long time.
The Register Star?
Mm. Yeah.
It's not daily anymore?
No. It's 5 days a week. Ella, what is it?
They have a weekend edition.
Right, for Saturday and Sunday.
Comes out, yeah, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday? No, I think
not.
No, I think. Guess not.
Well, ever since they let me go.
Yeah, it's just been downhill.
It's just been downhill.
You know, yeah, they don't have any food articles there. No. I don't think they publish those recipes anymore. I mean, your recipes were great, but
you know, I said half jokingly and I got the call about not being able to afford me anymore, or they were paying me bubkas to begin with. Bubkas is a Yiddish word that means nothing. Mm-hmm. I said, you know, I write for another newspaper that's a weekly, and people just rush to get that paper because there is the local news, there's the local sports. There, mm-hmm. you know, somebody writes that there's the police blotter, which is very amusing.
Everybody mm-hmm. loves the police blotter.
And there's, you know, there's food, there's decorating, there's a gardening column.
Letters to the editor.
Letters to the editor.
Yeah.
Birth announcements, death mm-hmm. announcements, and everybody just piles on to get that newspaper once a week. I think a weekly newspaper here that has all this local mm-hmm. stuff in it mm-hmm. would be very successful. Mm-hmm. Now,
Columbia paper does a good job.
Yes?
Yeah. We do our best to cover the local news. Yes.
How is it circulated?
Let's see. How is it circulated? Well, they drive it around and they drop it off at places on Thursday morning.
Uh-huh.
And subscribers get it by mail.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So, okay. All right.
It used to be twice a week and now it's once a week? Is that right?
Well, the Columbia paper has always been once a week because of our skeleton crew. The Independent was twice a week,
mm-hmm.
and then the Independent was sold to the big company, and then after a few years, the big company closed it, even though it was a going concern, because, as Susan Simon just said, people wanted to read their local news and features,
mm-hmm.
and it was a really good paper.
When I first came here 22 years ago, the Independent was the paper that people that I knew counted on.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So that's what I read most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to read your local newspaper, whether you like it
or
not.
Whether you want to or not, I know.
And I know a lot of people in Hudson who won't. I shouldn't say that. But
does the Register Star cover local news?
Yeah.
Yes.
But
a lot of AP articles too, though, aren't there?
Yes, there mm-hmm. are. I mean, we at the Columbia paper can never quite figure out what their angle is,
mm-hmm.
Because we do make an effort to cover local news. And I don't want to trash the Reg on WGXC. There's no point in that. But
no.
we do have these discussions. What are they thinking?
Well, I think it's a money issue.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it probably is. I mean, the Columbia paper would cover more if we could afford to have more reporters.
Sure. And a food column?
Yeah, and a food column. We do have columns. you could pitch a food column. I think a food column is great. I think people
read it. They'll love to read about food.
Yeah, they do.
I think so, too.
You know, but we need more advertising, basically. And it is hard to get advertising in a print media.
Mm-hmm. I think, you know, I'm very fortunate with Nantucket. It's a boutique market.
Definitely.
And they have lots of advertising. Yes. Mm-hmm. And,
is that the weekly newspaper you were referring
yes,
to just now?
Yes, yeah. The Enquirer and Mirror, mm-hmm. which is not locally owned anymore, but the editor and the publisher is local. If it's owned by a group, I can't even remember where.
I know, I can't remember who bought the Independent, some joint in New Jersey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they... Wasn't there some move to by the big company telling either the Independent or the Columbia paper that they should cover Rensselaer County or
no,
go further north?
I kind of doubt it. I mean, while I was at the Columbia paper, I mean, the Independent, which was in the mid-1990s, they started an office in Rensselaer County, which they closed within months because, you know, they must have been bleeding money. Mm-hmm. And so instead we had a two front pages. We had a wrap, and one was for Rensselaer County, for just, you know, Skodak, East Greenbush, and the city of Rensselaer. Mm-hmm. So we did two front pages, which was a real nuisance, folks, if you want to know. and one for Columbia County. And page three, we tried to have a story that was of interest to everyone. They may have had their own blotter page. I don't remember now. But that had nothing to do with the big company that owned it. That was something that Vicky and Tony tried.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, folks,
we're reminiscing.
We are.
And we've gone off topic.
But, we could talk about tomatoes forever.
We could talk about tomatoes forever. There are vendors in the Hudson Farmers Market who are selling their paste tomatoes by the case.
Really?
So if anybody is, you know, making sauce for the winter,
mm-hmm.
it's a good idea. If you have space to either, if you're expert at jarring them, that's good because you can... They're probably more space for you to store them.
Are they primarily plum tomatoes?
Yeah, they call them paste tomatoes, but they're plum. Mm-hmm. Yes, they are. And I just don't have room in my freezer anymore, and I'm not very good at jarring stuff.
Right. Yeah, I'm being very enthusiastic about this for other people.
Exactly.
Sounds like a great idea.
It's a great
idea,
but I'm buying them. I buy them three and four at a time because they make, you know, a great sauce those I skin and then chop them up and put them in a skillet and they just collapse into thick, rich sauce almost immediately.
I like that sauce you don't cook. I actually do that sometimes and now I have to go and do it. Mm-hmm.
I usually put maybe a little red onion in with it too, but basil is very important.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Tomatoes, yeah. Basil.
Some basil.
And then there's that famous, famous, famous Marcella Hazan recipe that has three ingredients in it.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Tomatoes, onion, and butter.
Oh, my goodness.
Half an onion.
Half
of a medium onion.
You know that recipe well. That
I've made it several times, and it cooks for like 75 minutes or something like that.
If you can make it with fresh tomatoes, you can make it with canned tomatoes
Even make it with canned tomatoes.
Yes.
Oh, I'll have to look that one up.
And it's called tomato sauce
number three.
With onion and butter.
Okay.
Tomato sauce number three. She has that's the third one. Three tomato sauce recipes in her original, classic Italian cooking.
Right. I think I have the original.
The other recipe I use out of her book is the pear cake.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait for pears. It's, you know, it's kind of like an apple cake. It's it's a little dense. Mm-hmm. It's not overly sweet.
In a true
just
Italian style, yes.
A sort of thick batter, mm-hmm. and I think you leave the peel on the pears. I don't remember about that. But you slice pears and put it in, and you just mix it together. And
There are some pears around right now, I've noticed.
Yes, I've seen them all.
I always used Bartlett pears, only because I love Bartlett pears. And
they're so grainy and sweet and juicy. Mm.
Yeah. Mm. Oh.
Oh, my goodness.
Really? Here we go.
Here we go again. Off.
We'll three gals sitting around talking about food.
Okay. Yep.
That's been us. We're almost to the end of the hour, so... Well, you've got about 3 minutes to remember something really good.
So, does everybody remember the original owners of Lick, Michael and Christopher?
Yes, sure.
Who moved to California, and yes. Michael snuck into town for less than 24 hours.
Did he,
a couple
really?
Of weeks ago. And I made a little dinner for him with a couple other people. And I said, what would you like? He said, tomatoes. Uh-huh. This is what, these East Coast tomatoes are. Better than California tomatoes.
No,
do they import them? I don't know, but California.
I don't know, but he just was jonesing for local tomatoes.
Good tomatoes.
So I made. Yeah. First, I started out. I made. Went out to Blue Star Farm and got half a car full of tomatoes. I used 6 pounds to make fresh tomato juice.
Oh my!
And I made Bloody Marys with them.
Ooh, cool. Oh,
Bloody Marys with fresh tomatoes.
Oh my God!
Then what did I make? I made that eggplant soup. Thing. That using the cherry tomato dippers that I described earlier.
Yes.
I made, I did steaks. I did meat. I did grilled local steaks with a big chopped tomato salsa to put over it.
Uh-huh.
And something else with tomatoes. I don't know. But I was trying to find it. I was looking for tomato desserts. That's when I came across the Campbell soup. But no, somebody else brought dessert, which was a gorgeous lemon olive oil cake. That was really good. Really good. It was served with lemon ice cream and peaches.
Jane's ice cream.
Mon Dieu.
Lemon chiffon.
That's what she brought, yes, to go with that cake.
Good.
Uh-huh.
Excellent. Yes. Well, I hope Michael was in heaven.
Yeah, he was very appreciative.
Yeah.
But the fresh tomato juice, that was revelatory.
Oh yeah.
Oh my God, that must have been divine. 6 pounds of tomatoes to get a little more than a quart of tomato juice.
Wow
That was an extravagance.
Yeah,
but it made good drinks.
I'll bet.
Yes, if you're gonna use it in a Bloody Mary, it's okay. Mm-hmm.
Yes. okay
that was great. Thank you. We've been talking to Susan Simon about tomatoes and other foods.
Mm-hmm. Come and eat some food.
Thank you, Susan. It's always lots of fun to talk to you.
Yes, likewise. Likewise. See you during the fall harvest.
When what?
The fall harvest.
Oh, the fall harvest.
See, we'll talk again.
We'll be talking apples before you know it.
Yeah, really.
Yep. Totally. And butternut squash.
Oh, that's not a bad thing either.
Mm.
See you soon.
Okay.